If the Bush administration is looking for an example of how privatization might work, it need look no further than the U.S. military, which began privatizing some of its jobs in 1991. Peter Singer is a fellow at the Brookings Institution and author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Private Military Industry. He joins us now. Mr. Singer, first of all, tell us, what are some of the services and functions of the military that have been privatized?
It's a whole range of areas, everything from the back-end support, feeding the troops in the field, supplying, maintaining their vehicles, their weapon systems, to command and control activities, training and advisory. Even the ROTC program in over 200 American universities has been privatized, to actual functions on the battlefield. In a number of areas such as Colombia, Sierra Leone, et cetera, you've had private firms take on tactical military operations, and even some of the operations of battlefield systems like unmanned aerial vehicles has been privatized.
Overall, how well has it worked? Or do you have to look at each individual function in order to answer that question?
You really have to break it down to each individual function. There's no way to give sort of a broad general assessment. In some cases, it's worked fantastic. They've been more efficient, more effective. And in other cases, just like privatizing and outsourcing in the regular business sphere, the government's gotten a raw deal. It's gotten ripped off and cheated.
Well, let's talk about an example of both. What has worked, first of all?
For example, the logistics that was done for American forces in the Balkans, generally the quality of it, from speaking with soldiers in the field, they've been very satisfied. They've gotten the delivery. They've had some problems on overcharging, but they've caught them. And right now there's pretty general satisfaction with it. The opposite side, as an example, has been DynCorp's activities in the Balkans and Europe. This is a company that, for example, provided military and civilian peace observers, and they had some issues with crimes that these guys committed and weren't punished for. They also provided personnel that weren't trained to what the government was paying for. They were providing lesser trained personnel for things like airplane maintenance, when actually the guys they gave weren't expert mechanics, but actually just trained, even though they're billing for expert mechanics.
How do you measure, for instance, efficiency versus flexibility? That is, with privatization, you may have a more efficient working unit, but the personnel might not have the flexibility to move on to another function, let's say.
That's a really important issue that's come to the fore with turning over certain military services, even food service, something as innocuous as that. Yes, the government may have saved money. It may have gotten a better quality meal served in the end, but one concern for military commanders is they don't have that last-ditch insurance of combat-trained personnel who can switch over into that role in dire circumstances. The example from World War II is the Battle of the Bulge, where the U.S. was on the verge of being defeated by the Nazis in this battle, and they said, okay, every typist, every truck driver, every cook, pick up your rifle and go to the battlefield, and that helped turn the tide of battle. That can't happen when you have a private contractor. And some go, well, yeah, that's the 1940s. It doesn't apply anymore. But actually, a very similar circumstance happened in 93 in the Battle of Mogadishu, where you had U.S. Rangers who were surrounded. And again, it was cooks, typists, truck drivers who in this instance picked up their flak vests, picked up their rifles, and went out to rescue them. So it's that extra flexibility by keeping it in the system inside the government that is often important.
Well, efficiency is one of the reasons that the Bush administration might be looking to privatize federal jobs. Another, of course, is savings. And how good have the savings been for the military?
Really, there's no good data to show that there's been good savings or any type of savings. Basically, it's mixed data, and no one can make an honest case in either direction. When they first announced the plan, they announced that they would save something on the level of $4.5 billion. But after the fact, no one's been able to prove that $4.5 billion has been saved.
All right. Thanks very much, Mr. Singer.
Thank you.
Peter Singer is a fellow at the Brookings Institution here in Washington and author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Private Military Industry.